Well, welcome to another episode of our Ag Plus Bio Plus Science podcast. It is presented by Agrinovis Indiana and Inside Indiana Business. I'm Gary Dick, the host of Inside Indiana Business, also the host of this weekly podcast where we have in-depth conversations with leaders, innovators, and entrepreneurs in Indiana's ag bioscience sector. It's the sector where food, agriculture, science, and technology converge. This week, excited to sit down with Dan Peterson. Dan is Vice President of Industry and Government Affairs for Cook Medical Group. Dan, great to see you. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Absolutely. Good to see you, Gary.
We always start, Dan, give us a little background. You've been at Cook for a number of years, but go back a few years before that. Give us a little background on Dan Peterson.
Well, I've been at Cook for 30 years, actually. So celebrating 30th year this year. Pretty much a lifer at Cook. Came to them after a couple of different educational experiences at Indiana University in Bloomington, both undergrad and MBA, and actually was at the IU School of Medicine as well. So finally got a real job and luckily landed at Cook with a good combination of my background and interests.
Are you a Hoosier?
I'm a Hoosier, Fort Wayne, absolutely.
Okay, Northeast Indiana.
Northeast,
very good. Well, you know, you're actually our first guest to the podcast from Cook. I think everybody knows the Cook name. It is not only now a global company, but what I think is so interesting is that as you look at Cook, its roots are really a great entrepreneurial Hoosier success story.
Absolutely. Bill and Gail were consummate entrepreneurs and great story and evolution of the company along with the evolution of medicine.
Talk about that growth and from those humble early beginnings and what Cook has grown into.
You know, Bill got an idea. He knew he wanted to be an entrepreneur, knew he wanted to start his own company. Long story short, he got an idea about a technology or a technique that was going to revolutionize medicine. He learned about it from his cousin, and it was called the Seldinger technique, which allowed for a minimally invasive approach and access to the vascular system versus having to make an incision and cut down. So he got in at the front end and recognized a couple of lucky breaks. In a couple of folks he met at one of the first meetings he went to, a Dr. Dotter, who ended up becoming the kind of the revolutionary thought leader in the United States, at least, and globally around minimally invasive medicine. So he's lucky enough to link up with him. And from that original, he was the person who made the products, if you will, that Dotter and these other innovators from a medical procedural standpoint needed. And as the field grew and evolved and improved, Bill was right there and along the way with some others to grow the technologies that supported those physicians. So started as a very core minimally invasive medical device in company with just a few employees and have grown it, followed medicine. So the minimally invasive approach was early on was just in the vascular space, and it's since spread to every part of the body. So laparoscopic surgery, all those things had their roots, if you will, in this minimally invasive approach. So grown to today to a company of just shy of 13,000 people worldwide, privately owned still, mainly a med device company, but the evolution of the technology has allowed us to expand and take advantage of great opportunity and other aspects of medicine.
Talk about your global company, but talk about the footprint in particular here in Indiana.
Sure, yeah. Global company, we've got, of that 13,000 worldwide, you know, we've got about 10,000 of those people that are in the United States, and of that, close to 8,000 here in Indiana. So we're a Bloomington-based company. That's our headquarters. Certainly, the biggest part of our company is based in Indiana, and we've got facilities in Bloomington, of course, but then we also have facilities in West Lafayette and a small facility here in Annapolis down in the newly developing 16 Tech Arena.
Indiana continues to be a leading state in the life sciences and also agriculture together at the ag bioscience space. From a Cook perspective, do you see collaborative leadership opportunities as you look at that?
Sure. I think there's examples to look at and talk about already and certainly more to come. I think if you look at one example that comes to my mind most immediately is the evolution of the IBRI, the Indiana Bioscience Research Institute. And while that is still a growing and early adventure, if you will, with lots of great opportunity, one of the things to look at there is the early work that was done to look at the technology opportunities that would be aligned with the IBRI included leadership from the Eli Lilly and Roche and Dow Agro at the time, or now Corteva.
Right.
And it was interesting in some of those early explorations, some of the early, you know, molecules and proteins that they were looking at, common interest, if you will. There was common interest on Lilly's side as well as common interest on Dow at the time side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot more potential, I think, than perhaps people realize. So, and Cook's got our history with that in a couple of interesting ways.
You mentioned 16 Tech and a presence there, the IBRI. As you look at that 16 Tech Innovation District, in your view, what does that represent? It's a big talent play, I know, to keep talent, to attract talent here. What do you see as the potential for 16 Tech here in Indianapolis?
Oh, I think it's absolutely huge, and that's why we're excited about being there and excited about seeing others come to that space. So it's, to me, it's a convergence. Obviously, it's a live-work play example, if you will, and a strategy, but it builds upon the unique partners that are there and that can be there from within the Indiana technology and life sciences and ag bio space potentially. So it's that convergence, along with the fact that the university, IUPUI, and the School of Medicine, of course, from our side of things is there. And I think there'll be lots of great examples of how we bring that convergence together there.
Talk about some of the innovations from Cook that do actually touch the ag bioscience sector. You've made strides in this intersection of production and animal agriculture and human health, for example.
Right. Yeah, there's a couple of really interesting stories. So, I mean, I'll probably start with the oldest one first, in a sense, and this is one that is perhaps less known, but for decades, Cook has been a leader in vitro fertilization products globally. We have one of the most complete and top-level lines of IVF-related technologies. And all of that came from our early efforts, actually out of our Australian facility. And a lot of that work early on was done in animals, in horses and other farm and other types of animals. I think it was horses in particular. But the point is, that early engagement there allowed us to grow that technology and then be part of the expansion of that into humans. So that's the oldest. I think the probably the ones that are of most note right now are certainly our efforts out of West Lafayette around a material that was actually discovered at Purdue categorized at Purdue that uses the hog small intestine submucosa as it's an extracellular matrix that has some really interesting properties when used in the body to help the tissue regenerate itself. And so we've had that technology, had the rights to that technology for a number of years, and have a company called Cook Biotech, which uses that layer of the hog intestine to do some really amazing things from a healthcare standpoint, treatment of disease.
You mentioned Purdue, and obviously your proximity to Indiana University. How important are those connections and collaborations to the great academic institutions that are here?
Sure, absolutely. I think they're critical for a number of reasons. I think especially as we talk about, in my mind, as we talk about some of the convergence of the technology and opportunity between the different sectors, between the technology sector, between the ag sector, ag bio sector, between the life sciences sector, that innovation, which often happens on the edges of traditional disciplines, is typically not something that's going to be done by any one company or one organization individually. It's going to come through collaboration. And that early innovation from a basic science and then applied science is going to come from the great partnership between research universities and organizations, companies that will help take that technology through to the market. So that I just can't over emphasize how for that this next generation of of technology that really builds upon strengths in different sectors, that collaboration in the research universities being a part of that are critically important.
Switching now to talent, there are other talent needs beyond traditional R&D that are critical, certainly to a 21st century workforce that is focused on innovation. At Cook, how do you approach that next generation talent, and in what disciplines do you think a lot of this talent is going to come from for you in the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's ever evolving, but we've seen the patterns here for a while now. Certainly, there's scientific expertise and research expertise, but anymore, you know, we're a technology company, we're a technology-enabled industry. So the IT-related technology disciplines are critically important, and we have to work hard to recruit and retain talent, both in Indiana and in our individual companies around that. Everything is tech-enabled. The data around everything we do in our industry, in medicine and life sciences, is you know a huge part of our ability to evolve healthcare to be more personalized and predictive and targeted and increase the therapeutic rate. So that piece is big. Regulatory areas have been and continue to become more and more challenging across the globe. So the talent we need from a regulatory expertise, training and education expertise around products is huge. But I think as much as anything, what we have to be able to do and what we're working really hard to do is develop that next generation, work with partners to help develop that next generation of talent, and then get them into Cook and really work with them as partners to help them advance their own continued education and knowledge and career pathways. We're spending a lot of time on that. So we have to retract and recruit, but the key is really retaining them and growing them where they want to go and be alongside with that partnership with them.
Dan Peterson is the Vice President of Industry and Government Affairs for Cook Medical Group, based in Bloomington. Dan, thanks for being on the podcast. Thanks, too, for your leadership on so many areas, Agrinovis and beyond for the state of Indiana.
My pleasure. Thanks, Gary.
All right, Dan. And thank you for joining us on this edition of the Ag Plus Bio Plus Science podcast. It is a weekly production partnership between Agrinovis Indiana and Inside Indiana Business. A reminder, you can keep up to date with Agrinovis by following them on Twitter and Instagram at AgrinovisIE. Also finding them on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. Also, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so we can share ag bioscience stories like this one with more and more people. I'm Gary Dick. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a product of Inside Indiana Business. Hosted by Gary Dick. Produced by Bridget O'Reilly, Libby Fritz, and Joe Ullery. More people get Indiana business news from Inside Indiana Business than any other source.